Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kalyan Jewellers India Limited Q4 FY25 earnings call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rahul Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Kalyan Jewellers India Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings call. Today on the call, we have with us Mr. Ramesh Kalyanaraman, Executive Director, Mr. Sanjay Raghuraman, CEO, Mr. V. Swaminathan, CFO, Mr. Sanjay Mehrotra, Head of Strategy and Corporate Affairs, and Mr. Abraham George, Head of Investor Relations and Treasury. I hope everyone had a chance to view our financial results and investor presentation, which were recently posted on the company's website and stock exchanges. We will begin the call with opening remarks from management, followed by an open forum for Q&A. Before we begin, I'd like to point out that some of the statements made during today's call may be forward-looking. A disclaimer to that effect has been included in the earnings presentation. I would now like to invite Mr. Ramesh Kalyanaraman, Executive Director of Kalyan Jewellers India Limited, to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, and let me welcome everyone to the call. Q4 has been fantastic. We ended the financial year on an excellent note. The consolidated revenue and PAT growth for the quarter has been approximately 36%. Standalone business recorded revenue growth of 38% and PAT growth of around 41%. For the full financial year, we recorded a revenue in excess of 25,000 crore and a PAT of approximately 714 crore. At the beginning of the last financial year, we had kept certain targets around showroom network expansion and debt reduction. We launched 76 Kalyan showrooms and 60 Candere showrooms in India and our first showroom in the U.S. during the last financial year. The year also saw a reduction in debt in India by around 250 crore. Even though our objective was to reduce non-GML during the year, the reduction of debt has been done mostly in the GML due to the temporary disruption around GML in India over the last three, four months. With the situation slowly returning to normalcy, we expect to swap position and reduce non-GML levels over the near term. Total debt reduction over the last 2 years stands at around 520 crore. In line with our announced dividend policy, the Board of Directors has recommended a dividend of approximately 150 crore, payout in excess of 20% in the net profit generated during FY2025. As previously communicated, during the ongoing financial year, we plan to open 170 showrooms across Kalyan and Candere formats and plan to reduce debt in India by another 350-400 crore. Let me spend some time on our omnichannel platform, Candere. As I indicated earlier, ever since we made Candere a wholly owned subsidiary, we have been infusing fresh talent at the senior management level and have been working on creating a totally refreshed merchandising strategy, brand identity, and omnichannel rollout plan. Now, with 73 active Candere showrooms, we have finalized the launch plan for the nationwide campaign for Candere. We have held back the official launch of the campaign given the recent Pahalgam incident. We plan to launch 80 Candere showrooms in India during the current financial year through a mix of FOCO and COCO showrooms. Bulk of the showroom launches during Q1 and Q2 of the current financial year will be franchised ones. We expect Candere to be profitable at PAT level during the current financial year. Now, talking about the ongoing quarter, we had an excellent start to the financial year despite continuing volatility in gold prices. We witnessed robust growth in our Akshaya Tritiya sale this year, and we continue to see encouraging momentum in consumer demand, especially around the wedding purchases during the current quarter. Thank you, and I'll hand over it to Sanjay. He will read you through the numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ramesh. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm really happy to be talking to you all after a great financial year. I'll start with the just concluded quarter. Our company reported consolidated revenue of 6,182 crores in the just concluded quarter, a growth of 36% over the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Consolidated EBITDA came in at 399 crores versus 296 crores in corresponding quarter of the previous year. And consolidated profit after tax came in at 188 crores versus 137 crores during the corresponding quarter of the previous year. I'll now give you a breakup of the financial year performance between India and the Middle East, starting with India. For the just concluded quarter, revenues in India came in at 5,350 crores versus 3,867 crores compared with the corresponding quarter in the previous year. India Q4 EBITDA came in at 343 crores versus 255 crores when compared to the corresponding quarter of the previous year. And India profit after tax came in at 185 crores compared to 131 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Moving on now to talk about our Middle East business. Middle East revenue for the quarter came in at 784 crores versus 623 crores. In the corresponding quarter of the previous year, and EBITDA in the Middle East was 59 crores versus 44 crores for the same period of the previous year. And the Middle East business posted a profit of 12 crores for the quarter compared to 10 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Lastly, talking about our e-commerce business, Candier, we posted revenues of 28 crores versus 36 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. And the quarter recorded a loss of 12 crores in Candier versus a loss of 70 lakhs for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. For the full year FY25 on a consolidated level, India revenue came in at 25,045 crores and consolidated profit after tax came in at 714 crores. With this, I'm done with the summary of the financials and we now open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Manoj Menon from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ramesh.
Hi.
Hi. Nice evening. So I just seek your insights, on consumer behavior on a few aspects to begin with. Now, given the material gold inflation which you have seen, I'm sure you would have seen similar, templates playing out in your long experience as well. What's the consumer telling you, in terms of the consumer behavior, let's say given the 40% sort of increase we have seen over the last 6 months, there are a lot of facets to it. Let's say, for example, is the salience of a non-22 carat increasing? Is there a consumer demand for it? Anything what you see on the consumer behavior, and I've got a few follow-ups on this. Thank you.
Yeah, so as you rightly mentioned, we have seen this cycle over the past three decades now a couple of times. So whenever the gold price increases, the demand per se, what happens? People take a pause, people see where the gold is, the price is going, and then they either postpone or prepone the purchase according to the occasion. So demand per se, there is no issue. I told you, Akshaya Tritiya was also strong, footfalls are strong, SSGs are strong, even for Akshaya Tritiya. But yes, the inventory composition, etc., on 18 carat, 22 carat, again the heavyweight versus lightweight versus midweight products. These kind of things we keep on changing when we have a 30% plus price increase for the commodity, which is again a constant process. It's not an overnight thing. The price, say, was X 3 years before, Y now. But there has been a path wherein it came from X to Y. So constantly we work on the composition of inventory in terms of 18 karat, 22 karat, lightweight jewelry, midweight jewelry, heavyweight jewelry, etc.
Understood. Ramesh, understood the composition of the, let's say, on the weight side of it, understood that aspect. But on the 18, 14, 22, is the consumer, or let me put it differently. So can a common consumer make out, let's say somebody's wearing an 18 karat or a 22 karat?
No, nobody can make out because the product is the same. Okay, so it's not about whether people know or not. It is about their personal satisfaction, whether it is a 22 karat versus 18 karat or 14 karat. So as of now, plain gold, we don't do in 14 karat. Diamond jewelry, it was earlier done in 18. Now it is mostly done in 14. Plain gold jewelry was only 22, and 18 karat was only for certain stylized products, wherein Gen Z products. But now 18 karat is there for even staple products. We have started keeping 18 karat in certain markets. But certain markets like Tamil Nadu, it is still very tough to crack an 18 karat. People still buy 22 karat. 18 karat is only for Gen Z products. So it is upon market to market, and we cannot just give you a blanket answer.
Understood. Loud and clear, I'll take it separately. Now, just on the making charges bit here, does it make a difference to your profit pool or the making charges when it comes to 22-18? I'm talking about only plain gold, not studded.
No. So we will actually, we are, you know that our profitability is on the cost price of the product which is made, and then selling price is the making charge, right? So our margin is only regarding the making charge. So we, as a percentage, we will not compromise on our making charge at all. In fact, 18 karat will have a bit more profitability than the 22 karat.
Understood. And if I may, just quickly your second, and then I'll come back in the queue.
Yeah.
So historically, my understanding, I just want to stress test the hypothetical understanding from the past, that whenever gold has seen material inflation, the ability of the salesperson to actually upsell a studded is far better, is what conceptually what I have been told in the past.
Yeah.
When a consumer says, "Look, for buying a 10 grams, I'd let's say shell out 100,000 rupees," right? I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
So I'm wherein that upgrading helps you capture far better gross margin. Is the hypothesis correct? And is
Correct.
It happening on the ground?
Yeah. So studded conversion becomes easier when the gold price is very high. Very simple reason, because customer comes with 1 lakh rupees. Okay, for example, if it is plain gold, he or she will end up buying 10 grams, right? Approximately, I'm telling you. So earlier they could have bought 13, 14 gram, which is now they are able to buy only 10 grams with the same budget. So customer might not get the same product which was there in his mind, because volume-wise, they would have cut by around 30-35%. But when it comes to studded, at least 40-50% is taken care by the stone. So only the gold, rest of the gold, where this volume issue is coming. So for studded product, the perception of the customer for what he or she should buy versus what reality is, will be more closer than the plain gold. So it makes us easier to convert to studded when the prices go up.
Understood. And one last question for now is, as I understand that the retail prices of, let's say, diamonds are largely flattish versus material inflation in gold. Now, can this have an impact incrementally on the consumer's, let's say, propensity or willingness to actually buy a diamond? Because let's say if I'm a consumer who bought 2 or 3 years back, and suddenly I'm finding that, when I come to, let's say, store for an exchange, that my diamond price has not inflated, whereas gold has inflated. Is there any such consumer behavior which we should watch out for?
Yeah, so again, everybody does not buy in an angle of just getting a price, elevation for a product which they, a commodity which they have bought, right? So even when you buy a diamond jewelry, there is gold quotient in it. And diamond also, It is not that price have been stable for the past 10 years. It has been moving up, right? So 65% in a studded product is also gold, no? So customer, first the customer happiness comes for satisfaction of wearing that product. Everything comes behind that. So they have to be satisfied in wearing that product, which is more in a studded when compared to plain gold, when because the price went up 30-35% in a very short time.
Very clear. Thank you and all the best for the medium term. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a great set of numbers. Sir, just wanted to check on the robust demand trends in the current year, right? So you mentioned that Akshay Tritiya sales were pretty robust. So I just wanted to check, is it like specific day that you are talking about, or is it like whatever 35-40 days that have been in the quarter? So throughout the quarter, the demand trends have remained robust.
So the demand has been robust right from the beginning of the quarter. What I told you is about the Akshaya Tritiya day, and usually what happens, all the offers or the pre-book redemptions, etc., happens 10 days. In the Akshaya Tritiya zone, meaning Akshaya Tritiya minus 10 days. Both angles, when you see, the SSGs have been strong and there has been good momentum at the store level.
Understood. And sir, in your initial commentary, you mentioned that the gold metal loan was sort of reduced in FY25. In another way, this is a hedging instrument also. So have we changed our way of hedging recently? What's the outlook there? And secondly, as we understand, there was about 200 bips of increase in interest rate on gold metal loan. And you indicated that there is some relief that has been there. So what is the exact quantum of increase that may be there for the current FY26 year?
Yeah, so gold loan interest rate have been increased in the range of 2-2.5%. It has started coming down from the peak, which was at around 5% oddish. So now it's slowly settling down. And once it gets settled down, we will swap the gold loan to, meaning it will be, the gold loan will go up and the CC will come down. So it is still not back to the normal levels.
Understood. Any quantum, sir? As in earlier it was 2-2.5%, as of now, where does it stand?
It was in the range of 3-3.5. Now it is in the range of 5. 5-ish, meaning 5-5.5.
5. Okay, yeah. Understood. And sir, this year we've incurred about 350 crore of capex, right? So now the understanding was also that that you will be changing the model, right? So for FY26, what is the capex expectation from showroom additions in India?
So even in this financial year, if you remember, we initially the first half was all the old model where capex was put by Kalyan and franchisee was investing in the inventory. Okay, so around 30 showrooms in the financial year, it was our capex, meaning Kalyan Jewelers was investing for capex, and only the investment on inventory was coming from them. So predominantly the first half capex amount was that, and second half there has been renovations which will happen, etc., which will be in the range of what usually 150 crore. So next year, if you ask, capex should be in the range of 150, because only the maintenance capex will be there, because next year plan is to open all stores through the new model. Plus, of course, Candier stores will be there, which is owned, for which capex will be put by Candier, meaning Kalyan. Yeah.
Okay. So, sir, if we have to break this 350 crore and 150 crore has gone into maintenance, so new store CapEx has been about 200 crore in FY25.
So it will be like what, 30 showrooms, which we would have done CapEx, 30 with what into 4, maybe 120 crore. Again, 150 will be maintenance CapEx. And there has been one or two showrooms like Chennai we completely revamped, which is of high cost. It is not in the range of 2-3 crore. It will be much bigger than that. So that is about the CapEx which has been spent for this year.
Fair enough. So last question from my end. I was seeing your payable days. So that is slightly higher at between 30 to 35 days versus 10 to 20 days for other jewelry retailers. So do you anticipate this to reduce going ahead or remain stable at current levels?
Yeah. So that CapEx, one more thing which I missed out is South, our franchisee model, if you remember, South is that even now in this financial year, we opened 9 stores in the South. CapEx will be put by Kalyan and only inventory will be done by franchisee. So South franchisee model even now is CapEx by Kalyan. So that will also be in the range of what, 40-50 crore in the last financial year. Okay. And now coming to payable. So payable depends upon the inventory which you keep. Okay, if you look at from far, it will be only gold or a diamond. But when you go further into it, in gold itself, there are premium products in gold, which has a better margin and better credit days, which is not kept by all brands. So there are brands predominantly keeping only staple products for which the number of payable days cannot be like what we enjoy. There are certain brands who don't keep as much as standard as Kalyan. So if you look at our payable days, it has been only reducing or it has been stable. So if you ask whether we will improve the number of working days, yes, of course we can because the revenue is growing. And if in case we are not adding inventory, then the payable days should come down.
Got it. Thanks for taking my question, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, very loud.
Okay, thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So I just wanted to understand first up on the margin front. This year as a whole, our PBT margins were down to 3.8%, which was largely driven also by, I think, 120-30 crores of impact on inventory. So how do we see the PBT margins for this year, FY26?
So if you first of all, as you rightly said, if you negate the 120-130 crore, the PBT margins would have been in the range of 5, right? Approximately 5% for even the last financial year. So the running financial year, it should be slightly higher than that because interest saving can also come because we are reduced our debt. So it should be above 5%.
So if I adjust 130 crores, your PBT margin increases from 3.8% to 4.3%, right?
Yeah, so and Q4 you can see, when in Q4 the PBT margins are in the range of 4.1. So I think we should target for a PBT margins of in excess of 5%.
In excess of 5% for FY26, right?
Yeah.
Okay, understood. And in terms of debt, you mentioned we are looking to reduce debt by about 300 to 400 crores this year, FY26?
Yes, that is the target. Our target for this financial year, debt reduction will be in the range of 300 to 400 crores.
No, okay. And how do we see the growth for this year, FY26 as a whole?
No, for growth, you know that we are opening 90 Kalyan showrooms, out of which what 80 plus will be in India. And we have opened 76-77 showrooms in the last financial year. That revenue, it's not a full revenue which has been absorbed in the last financial year. That revenue should also come. SSGs, of course, in this the last financial year, SSGs were extremely strong. Even if you for a budget sake, if you reduce SSG a bit than last year, overall revenue growth should be what? It should be good. Meaning, I'm sure that you will be able to assess the overall revenue growth.
Understood. And we are looking to open around 150 stores, right? Out of which 90 would be Kalyan and remaining would be Candere?
Yeah, 90 plus 80.
So around 170 is what we are targeting.
Yes, yes.
Okay, okay. And you mentioned the capex amount. I missed that amount. So what would be the capex amount for this? So, I mean...
For the next financial year, no? For the running financial year.
Yeah, for FY26, yeah.
Yeah, so the maintenance capex will be in the range of 150. And south stores, if we open, what, 7 or 8 showrooms, that also can come to around 50 crore because south capex is done by us. And Candere, whatever comes, will come. Being our own store, Candere will be done by us completely. Inventory plus capex.
So somewhat higher than 150, I mean, somewhere around that is what...
No, 200 for sure. Because 200 plus for sure because 200 will be for Kalyan itself. So 200 plus Candere will be the right way to look at it.
And how much would be Candere? 80 stores, what can be the...
So Candere predominantly will be, it's a mix of franchisee and COCO. So it depends upon how many FOCO, how many COCO. Even if you look at what 50-50, then 40 showrooms will be done by the company. Okay, so into say 1.5-2 crore, it's 80 crore capex.
60-80 crore. That's very clear, sir. I think that that's very helpful. That would be it from my side. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vidisha Seth from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I hope I'm audible. Thank you for taking my question. I just had one query. On the studied mix, in continuation to what you responded to the earlier participant's question, just wanted to know what incremental initiatives are you as a brand undertaking to drive this mix and studied. One, definitely you did talk about that conversion becomes easier. But any other initiatives that you'd like to highlight, which is leading to this increase in mix?
Yes, so standard mix for Kalyan, the major driver for the past, say, 8 to 10 quarters was because the mix of non-south revenue is the major driver because non-south revenue comes with better standard ratio than south. That was a major driver. And of course, on a store level also, we try to improve the standard ratio. We give incentives to staff. We do campaigns around standard. We do promotions around standard. So that is how our standard ratio is improving.
Okay. Right. Thanks. That's all from me.
Thank you. Participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Bhavya Gandhi from Dalal & Broacha Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible. Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So just wanted to understand how is the renewals of franchisee taking place? Because I believe we started somewhere in June 22 and the 3 years our franchisee agreement gets over, right? So if you can throw some light on that.
The lock-in is for 4 years.
Okay, lock-in is for 4 years. Any early renewals are we seeing at the moment or how is it?
No, they don't have to renew. No, 4 years may there is no renewal.
No. Once the franchisee agreement ends at the end of 4th year, how is it?
The agreement is for 9 years. So 4 years is a compulsory lock-in.
Okay, 4 years is the compulsory lock-in. Okay.
Yeah. Agreement is for 9 years. So they don't have to do anything after 4 years.
Okay, got it. Fair enough. Just wanted to also ask you on the gold price impact. So, I mean, because you've been there for last 3 decades. So what typically happens to the absolute revenue and EBITDA when there's a gold price falling scenario? Let's take an example of 1 lakh becoming 90,000. So in that case, I mean, demand will not start picking up immediately, right? So if you can just help us explain how does the numbers look like when there's a downward gold price scenario?
No, customer you should look at through the customer point of view. Customer comes not with a volume in mind. They come with a budget in mind. So a customer, the first question which our sales team will ask a customer, of course after welcoming and stuff, will be the budget of the product which they want to buy. So if they say 5 lakhs, the sales team will start showing product from 6 lakhs or 7 lakhs or something, so that then they can upsell a bit. So, but customer comes with a budget in mind. So when the gold price comes down, automatically volume goes up. So because they want to, they can buy only for the amount which they have in their hand.
Got it. And in that case, does the studded ratio get impacted?
Studded ratio, when the gold price comes down, you mean?
Yeah.
So you should understand that the gold price is now this 30% up is over the last 1 year, right? Before that also, it is nothing related to, it becomes easier when the gold price is very high for conversion. Okay. That's it. But organically itself, all of us know that there is an inclination to studded for the young generation. They see Polki, Diamond and Precious, Uncut, etc. And organically there's a driving force to studded. And sales team, they will push for studded because they have been incentivized that way. But when the gold price is very high, conversion becomes much easier than when it is low, because the customer, when they have a perception in mind that for 1 lakh they will get a product, that product in size will not be too much different if they buy a studded, because studded takes care of 40% of the product.
Got it. Fair enough. And what is the average invoice value for Candor? If you can just throw some light on that as well.
It will be 25-30K.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you so much. Really helpful. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, please press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Just one here on the borrowings. You know, we're not seeing a decline and we're seeing a high cash balance. If you can just explain that.
Can you repeat the question once more?
It's the borrowings. You know, they're not declining as guided and the cash has increased. So just wanted to understand, you know, what am I missing?
So two things. One is that in India, if you look at the debt level have come down by 250 crore. Console, you might not see a huge difference because Middle East, the debt would have increased. So predominantly what happens is when gold price move up, GML level tend to increase as bank revalue the loans at the end of the period on the prevailing gold price. So actually, given the sharp rise in gold price during the second half of the last financial year, GML should have ideally seen a noticeable increase. But since we reduced our GML loans by around 250 crore, the total GML is seen as 250. So GML loans, we have reduced by a much higher proportion. But you see only 250 because the banks have revalued the GML with the current gold price. So in the Middle East, we have not done any reduction in GML from our side. And hence you see the increase in level of GML driven by the increase in underlying gold price.
So the other part would be that, you know, we were planning to decrease the non-GML actually, right? Because that was cheaper for us.
So that was because of the uncertainty around GML. No, I told you last 2-3 months, GML had a huge turbulence because of other reasons, right? So there was GML, the uncertainty around GML, especially over the last 1 or 2 months. That is why the GML limits was not reduced. Okay, and once the situation is back to normalcy, we can immediately swap it.
Now, what would be the guidance for ball? And why is the cash balance so high?
Cash balance, what? It's a. Okay, I'll check the cash balance, but what I saw was it's only a difference of 60 crore increase in Middle East. That is predominantly because the cash is going and sitting in the gold loan, right? Because we'll have to pay money.
Right.
I made it clear, no?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And want to ask.
Hello, am I audible? Hello.
Yeah, yeah. I'm able to guess.
Yeah, sure. So my question is on the Candere. Since we plan to open around 80 stores next year, correct? Which are market? So far, we have seen success for this model. And considering we are doubling the store count to next year, any target markets where you think that the rollouts will be faster and typically what kind of a gross margin or unit economics you can expect that once you see the mature stores will reach, what kind of unit economics you can expect from Candere?
So, Candere on an ideal situation, on a matured store or maybe closer to maturity store, the stock turn should be in the range of 2%. Margins, you know that it is in the range of 30-35%. Okay, that is a store which is almost matured. That is the store economics. Okay, margins will be what, 30-35%, and stock turn should be in the range of 2. Now about expansion, our primary focus will be metro, tier 1 and tier 2 locations. We are not pinning down any particular metro to focus more. We will be expanding across the country, and right from, you know, when Candere is a wholly owned subsidiary, we have been constantly infusing talent across the senior management and the other areas where like marketing and stuff, and again merchandising strategy is also completely revamped. Now we are very clear on how the brand identity should be. Strategy is also laid. We were almost about to launch the campaign, wherein once we launch the campaign, only we can expect footfalls and things will come to where we want. But because of the recent incident, we actually pushed the campaign. But our target for this financial year is to make Candere profitable at PAT level.
Does that answer your question?
Sure. Sure. And typically, what is the studded mix for Candere?
At a store level, it is 70% studded.
70%.
Yeah.
And typically, what is our store size? And is like, are we also thinking to use e-com channel also for this platform going ahead?
Yeah, it's an omni-channel. So now the Candere showroom size will be in the range of 1,500 square feet. And of course, it's an omni-channel wherein it is not only dependent on store, but we need online platform also to help drive footfalls to the store.
Sure. Yeah, thank you so much. That's all for my time.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great result. I just have one question and I joined a little late, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating it. With the India-UK FTA, there is a lot of news going around about a boost in gems and jewelry exports from India. Can you throw a little light on it? About how it might be, you know, beneficial for us, or is it a little too early to talk about any positive signs from it?
So, as you know, we don't export for others, wherein we don't have export business. We have plans to open our showrooms in UK this year, for which we can export from India. Otherwise, then we don't have a direct benefit because of this.
Understood. So the Middle East business only caters to the GCC area?
So Middle East actually looks after our Middle East operation. And also, as we speak, there are products from Middle East which is sent to the US operations also.
Okay, and can you please spend a minute on how the FTA would, you know, be a positive push for the industry overall?
Overall industry, it's very tough for me to guide, but what I hear is that exporters have a merit on it.
Oh, okay, and obviously the realization levels, I'm sorry, I'm not a little very comfortable with this segment, but in terms of the overall realization levels, is it widely different in terms of domestic versus export?
I didn't get you there. Can you repeat me? Repeat the question.
So I'm sorry for not wording my question correctly. From what I understand, in terms of jewelry, we obviously have the whatever metal, gold, silver is used, and then the making charges. However, in terms of export, I would assume that the gold prices would still be the same, but the making charges, and then on top of that there will be freight and different components to it. So I am asking if exporting gold, exporting jewelry is more profitable as compared with selling it domestically, or is it not much of a difference?
So exporting majorly happens only for selling it to retailers now. Otherwise, they will not be able to sell to end consumer. So as per my understanding, the margin for a retailer will be much higher than a margin for a wholesaler slash exporter. But of course, I don't know about it because I am not an exporter. But as far as I understand about the segment and my experience, I can talk only about our experience so far. So retail margins are much higher than any wholesaler or an exporter, right? Because US R margin, it's 25% plus is R margin in the US at the store level.
Understood. This was helpful. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pallavi Deshpande from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Just wanted to understand what is the interest rate now for this the gold metal loan that we agreed upon. How much higher is it?
So it was in the range of 3-3.5. Now it's in the range of 5-5.5. So just in the level of 5 now at this week, coming right in the level of 5. Yeah.
Right. So, and what would be in terms of the same store volume growth? Any guidance that you have? I missed the beginning part of the call. Sorry for that. So.
Yeah, so we actually, we don't look at only volume because we look at value because we ourselves push for standard rather than gold, right? So gold volume will surely come down even if the gold price is flat and even if there is SSG, the volume would not have grown as much as SSG because we ourselves would have pushed for standard.
Right.
Okay. So our SSGs right were in the range of 21%.
Right.
Yeah.
And what would be the target for the studded ratio for next year since you're pushing?
Now I think it should be in the range, in the same range, in the 30, 31, 32 range, because the expansion now for the next running financial year is predominantly in tier 2, tier 3 markets outside South India, where it will be, the studded ratio will be lesser than what we enjoy in a metro or a tier 1. So now, don't expect any sharp increase from the current levels.
Right, about that. Thank you.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ramesh Kalyanaraman to give his closing remarks.
So thank you very much and a good day.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Kalyan Jewelers India, that concludes this conference. You may now disconnect your lines.